Hello, everyone. Kiran Manral and I are back with the second season of Not Your Auntie. This is our very first episode. We have missed you. I hope you've missed us as well. So in this season, we aim to be bigger, better. I don't mean physically bigger. I mean, the canvas of our show is bigger. It's more exciting. And we are now on YouTube as well, because as it turns out, our listeners also want to get a glimpse of what we look like. So here we are. So now Kiran and I intend to find out what we both have been up to, because this is the longest we've gone without meeting each other in the past 1 year since we first started recording Not Your Auntie. Kiran Manral.
Yes, darling.
And how have you been?
I've been very well. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been on a vacation. It feels like a summer break.
It actually does feel like a summer break. I expect it to be, you know, plucking mangoes and, you know, climbing trees and all that kind of stuff. But nothing. I did boring stuff and like, some fun stuff. And what have you been up to? You've been traveling all over the place.
Not all over, really. I've just been to, well, three places. So I've done Dubai, Somnath
Lovely.
Temple on Mahashivratri.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I've turned religious. I went to Porbandar, where Mahatma Gandhi was born, with a bunch of friends.
That's very eclectic kind of mix of destinations.
I know. I mean, Dubai. One is completely consumerism driven, okay? Which is you go to Dubai and as soon as you go, you're hit by the bright lights and, you know, the smashing new cars and
logos everywhere.
Logos everywhere and big. Everything is big. Jewels are big. Cars are big, apartments, high-rise buildings are bigger than ever before. And then there was the Somnath, the other extreme.
How lovely.
I mean, you need one thing to offset the other.
So what was Somnath like? Because I've only read about it and, you know, the entire mythology, I mean, the history behind it and what happened. And
are you very well informed? Why don't you tell us what happened? I'll also learn.
It was destroyed and it was rebuilt.
That's right.
That's about it. Mohammad Ghazni and all that.
And
that's
Ahilyabai rebuilt it because she was a big Shiv Bhakt. And this year has been really interesting because, you know, less than a year ago, I had gone to Maheshwar last October.
Oh.
And Maheshwar is the seat of Ahilyabai's, it was her capital. She had moved it from Indore to Maheshwar.
Yes.
And those 3 days, I stayed at this gorgeous hotel called the Ahilya Fort, which was her home there. It's not a palace. She's the salt of the earth sort of a woman. And so she built a home, which was a home. And Maheshwar is dedicated to Lord Shiva. She was a Shiv Bhakt. And there are Shivlings everywhere. Her personal collection rescued from or found within the Narmada River that, you know, the fort is located on the river itself by the Ghats. And then someone over there said, you know, since you're here, why don't you go to Omkareshwar? I said, what is Omkareshwar? Because I'm new to all of this. So he said, it's a Jyotirling. So I had to Google to understand what is the Jyotirling.
Okay. Yeah, 12 of them, I think.
12 of them. And this, that's some light of Lord Shiva that fell in these different places. And there's a whole...
And they are located on specific spots.
Meridians. Energy center, the meridians.
So, yes.
I said, okay, why not? So I went to Omkareshwar and in quick succession, Banaras happened. Again, you know, purely by chance. And then everyone was going to Kashi Vishwanath. And look at the level of my ignorance. I've heard of Kashi Vishwanath, but I didn't know it's a Lord Shiva temple and a Jyotirling. And then I went to Kashi Vishwanath. So we were going to our friend's beautiful country home in Porbandar. And very inspiring story behind his family. So we went to Porbandar and he said, you know, on Mahashivratri Day, I've organized a trip for you to Somnath Temple. And so Somnath Temple happened. So that was really interesting. And of course, you know, there's something to be said about the kind of vibration you feel in these places. But Porbandar was really fascinating because there used to be a gentleman who set up a company there, which sort of now runs 2-3 big schools in Porbandar. This is Saurashtra Cement.
Okay. It's huge.
Nanji Bhai Mehta. At the age of 13, when he was not a gentleman yet, he was a little boy in the, we are talking about like the 20s, I suppose. He was born and brought up in Porbandar and he went in search of work on a ship that was sailing. You know, these are all old ports of India. We were still under the British at the time. And he was intending to go towards South Africa, but they ended up in Kenya. And this 30, because the boat broke and they couldn't sail any further. So he got off and he started a little Kirana store there as a boy of 13.
That's little, very enterprising for a boy of 13.
But you know, Gujaratis have this the trading community. And then he became a trader. One day someone gave him, he must have been older by then, and someone gave him a few cotton seeds. And next thing you know, we had a cotton plantation. And he started exporting cotton all over the world. So we had gone to his grandson, Jay Mehta's house.
Okay.
And we had the tour of the city because he decided, he was a very charitable man and he was an Arya Samaji. He said that, I want to come and give it back to my own country. So he came back to Porbandar and set up educational institutions there,
mm-hmm.
and grand educational institutions and tourist centers there, because he said Indians don't get to travel much, so let me share whatever they can experience. He set up Arya Samaj organizations, you know, not a temple, but a place where you can do a havan, and libraries. I mean, the works. And you go there and you realize that philanthropy doesn't come naturally to us Indians. And when this man, by the time he died, he was living a very, very Spartan life with just few basic pieces of clothing and everything. So it was very, very inspiring. And his sister was a very learned woman. And there's a library in her name today with Quran, Upanishads, the Parsis, the spiritual literature of the Parsis, English literature, Hindi literature, Gujarati literature, never married because she wanted to dedicate her life to
learning. How wonderful.
Imagine, we are talking about the 30s and the 40s. There were people like that in our country at the time.
And more admirable is the fact that the family let her do that. I'm sure she must have struggled, or she must have, you know, had to fight her way through it.
Perhaps.
But at the end of the day, that she managed to have her way is really commendable.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. And I find it very, very interesting, Shonali, the fact that you're talking not about the person we associate Porbandar with, but another person.
I know Mahatma Gandhi, I'm sorry to say this, but it suddenly became all about this Mehta family. And then we went and saw the school. These girls come from all over India and they live there. It's a boarding school, charitably run. And they perform the mantra Havan morning, evening. So Arya Samaj is not a religion, it's a philosophy of life. But so nice to see girls speaking in Sanskrit, young girls speaking in Sanskrit.
It's wonderful because Sanskrit is dying out and at least someone somewhere is still preserving the language. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So that was that. And Mahatma Gandhi happened, you know, no disrespect to him, but we just went and saw where he was born. There was a big queue of people, little tiny streets of Porbandar. Very charming. India is really, this is my year of discovering India, as you know.
Small town India. We discovered one together.
I know. We discovered the shops there, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, small town India is charming. Yeah. Actually, you know, when...
You just went to another small town and you went to two places.
I went to two small towns, yeah. So when my husband had to go meet somebody in Vishakhapatnam, me being me, I said, okay, I'm tagging along. And we went along to Vishakhapatnam, which is a lovely city. It's clean, it's nice, it's beautifully...
It's coastal.
So yeah, it's coastal. And there's a long beach road that runs for around 30 kilometers of pure beach. We also landed there on Mahashivratri Day. So the beach was packed to the gills. Back to the gills, you couldn't see the sand for the life of you.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently...
Why shivbugs go to the beach?
They fast and then they go to the beach to have a snan, because I don't think there's a river or something there. They have that snan and then they come out and break their fast or whatever. So it was fact. So there was no beach walking or anything.
Sure.
There was just beach admiring and looking, okay, where is the sand now in the midst of all this? But it's a lovely coastal road. The drive is wonderful. Someone told us that you have to go and see the Dutch cemetery. So we said, okay,
Dutch cemetery. Huh.
Because the Dutch they had control of that area before they passed it on to the British.
Right.
So we said, yes, we'll go to see the Dutch cemetery. So that was some 30 odd kilometers away at a place called Bhimli.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely drive, because you have the sea on one side and you have little hills on the other side.
Oh, lovely.
But lots of people everywhere. So
but
many
that's
people.
Everywhere in India.
Yeah. But this was like really lots of people. Even I was overwhelmed. I was wondering what my uncle, who's a Norwegian and sort of faints when he comes down to Bombay, would do in such a crowd. But we reached there and it was packed. the whole place was like Gateway of India on the 31st of December.
Hmm.
Looking around me and my husband prodding along, trying to find out where is this Dutch cemetery in the midst of a throng of people. And one very strange woman comes out of a gate. And Kirit says, I think this is it. I said, no, I think she's retarded.
Was she dead?
No, she was very spooky.
Was she a ghost?
She was really spooky. She stared at us and she stared at us again. She looked at us and she said, go.
Are you serious?
And I was like, okay. Should we? Should we not? And it was just a gate and a wall and many people. So you couldn't see what was, you know, against the wall, what was written or whatever. Luckily for us, our very kind cab driver had followed us. And he said, yes, madam, you have to go in there. We went in. It was a lovely cemetery. The gravestones from all over the place, the stories of each person, whoever they died. Most interesting, Shunali, there were some graves with the gravestones with skulls and crosses. And I was wondering why the skulls and crosses on the grave.
Yeah, exactly.
They also were for the pirates.
Graves of pirates?
The graves of pirates.
How interesting.
So, and there were these wonderful little pyramidal structures where they had entire, I think, regiments of people who had died in whatever. So, all of their names. Three of them in red stone. But I was fascinated with the graves of the pirates. Like pirates, yeah. Proper burial. Not a burial at sea, you know. You keep thinking of burial at sea for the pirates. But
maybe
no.
They were washed ashore with one bandaged eye.
Hopping on their
I wonder if they look like Johnny Depp.
If they're roaming that graveyard, then I want to go back.
So, even after his domestic abuse court trial.
I would rethink it, I'm glad you pointed that out, maybe I would rethink that. So that
I watched the whole trial online. I watched video footage of that. I think that she was lying. Sorry, women out there, please don't troll me, but fair is fair.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you never really know what exactly goes on.
Exactly.
In a relationship, so anyway. That being that, so Visakhapatnam was nice. No sari shopping happened. Which I was very disappointed.
If you go with your husband, how will any sari shop?
No, he very kindly came with me to the shop. And the taxi driver, I don't know why, took us to this palatial emporium type place. Where they kept throwing out saris which were really, I don't know, some color combinations that were guaranteed to put a retina out.
Also like what we saw at the Nallis in Chennai.
Yes.
You and I went to Nallis and he ran out of it.
Exactly that. And Kirit was so disgusted. Why did you come in if you don't want to buy anything? He was insulted by the fact. But I said, I'm not going to wear those. It's just not my style.
Also, going shopping with men is very hard. They're like, okay, quickly.
Quickly.
I'm waiting over here. Huh. Choose your sari. This sari is not chosen like that.
No. This one. No, none of the above. Yeah. That was Visakhapatnam. It was good fun. It was beautiful. The food was outstanding wherever we ate.
Hot food must be
very spicy. Yeah. But lovely wherever we ate. And
then you went to?
Then I went to Dibrugarh in Assam. And I was very excited because I've been to Assam only once before and many, many years ago where I was a complete good girl. I flew in the previous night, did my session and flew out in
Lit
the
Fest.
Evening.
You went for Lit Fest.
I went for Lit Fest. I did not see anything of the place. And then afterwards, I heard that everyone who had gone with me had done wonderful things like visit the Kamakhya Temple.
Yeah, you can't not do the Kamakhya Temple.
And they'd been to the Kaziranga Sanctuary. And they'd been to, some had even gone to the Tawang Valley. I was an idiot. So this time I decided, and thanks to you, Shanali, for giving me the courage to do so.
You did a solo trip.
I did a solo trip to Kaziranga.
And how was it?
Kaziranga is an experience.
Yeah,
because it is 430 kilometers of forest, of grassland, of deciduous forest, of tropical forest. It is four habitats in one space. So you move through it and suddenly the landscape keeps changing.
Really?
There are lagoons, there are thick tropical forest, and then there's this twisted almost a canopy of twisted barren trees, which is so spooky to go under. But it's the day I arrived, it was lovely.
Are the animals that you spotted?
I did not see the tiger. The tiger did not want to see me.
My friends were there just last month. They saw the tiger.
Just see. What bad juju for me. But I saw his pug marks and they showed me scratches very helpfully. I don't know whether they put them there or not.
No. You know the fun of doing a safari in India? is that you have to actually follow the marks and listen to calls and follow the animals. When you go to one of the African safaris, it's all out there. So you don't have to really pursue or chase. Of course, it's spectacular, the landscape, and you go in a hot air balloon or you drive, you know, you drive around the land, the forest, not the forest land, what are the African lands?
The
right?
grasslands.
The grasslands, yeah. Masai the African Mara. Grasslands, yeah. And I had, of course, the most unusual experience that...
you met a leopard, a cheetah.
So Kiran, we had gone to the Masai Mara on a holiday, and compared to Indian safaris where you have to search for animals, there the grounds are littered with them. But you basically chase a hunt. Here you chase the animal, which is very mysterious and exciting. But in the Mara, you are seeing not just paw marks, you're possibly seeing a cub also, a cheetah cub. And you're like, okay, the cheetah will go for the kill here and let's wait for it. You see lions mating. You see all sorts of things. So this cheetah, this early morning we woke up and we went to find the cheetah. And, you know, the Maasai tribe stand behind your tent bathroom to pour hot water through a manual system. It's all very exotic. So early morning bath, went for the hunt. Now our jeep is parked and suddenly the cheetah decides to mount our jeep. And his flea-ridden tail is staring me in my face because he's sitting right over my head. And there's a big gap in those jeeps. So if he wants, he can decide to just peep inside and sink his canines into one of us. But he was more generous than that. He stepped back at a certain point and I asked the Maasai tribe, can I get up? Can I get up? And he said, no, don't. And then I said, no, I am. And my husband is saying, no, no, I have to increase the life insurance policy on you before you do that. And then anyway, I get up and now the cheetah and I are facing each other. And next thing you know, I'm taking a selfie with it.
And I've seen those pictures.
And then a guy from across, one of our friends in the other vehicle took proper pictures. And this cheetah posed for it better than any model can. And the next few seconds, it went in for the kill and killed a gazelle. That gazelle could have been me. But it was going for the smaller variety, I guess.
So, you live to tell the tale.
Yes, that was my experience. But I wasn't trying to undermine your experience. I was saying that in Indian safaris, I enjoy even more.
Because you have to hunt for them.
Yes, it's the thrill of the chase.
So the most exciting thing on my safari was two rhinos having a fight. Ooh. So they were really battling each other. And I was
Do they lock horns?
They like just go for it. Like top. They don't lock the horns, but they were just like going, bashing each other up. And I was like, hello, this is like 50 meters away. And it's like 1.5 tons of them. If they decide to divert here, yeah. I will be chapati in five seconds.
Was it a domestic fight?
No, I think it was a territorial fight. That's what my guide told me very helpfully, that it is probably territorial. But they are very angry creatures who keep fighting, he said.
Really? They have the largest concentration of rhinos in Masai Mara?
In the Kaziranga, yes.
In Kaziranga,
sorry, two-thirds of the world's rhinos in Kaziranga. They have 2,600 rhinos right now.
Wow.
And quite a huge number of elephants also. We saw a huge number of wild elephants.
The hippos as well?
No, I did not see hippos. Okay. And some very angry water buffalo.
Oh, you know the water buffalo, they're very scary creatures.
They're very angry, very aggressive.
Lions are afraid of a pack of water buffaloes because they can finish you off.
Yeah, I believe that because I saw them. And the anger in that fellow's eyes as he was looking at us. And I was like, okay, chalo, chalo, photo ho gaya, chalo, let's move. Because I don't want to take chance.
Naturally. Yeah. But you were posing against the jeep. I hope there was no wildlife.
There was nobody there. That was the only reason I dared get out.
But listen, this is the kind of solo trip worth doing entirely by yourself.
It was lovely.
You can't be chit-chatting in the jeep anyway.
But it was very annoying, Shonali, because there's so many jeeps filled with so many tourists and everybody talking at top volume. There's no concept of volume control with us Indians to begin with. And when the animals are around and you're talking at such a volume, no one's going to come up and show themselves to you.
And then we get offended when foreigners mock us. Yesterday, there was some story about some foreigners mocking the way Indians order wine. And these two blonde women who worked at a resort were, you know, copying, hey, wine, Lana, get wine, you know, that sort of a thing. So you watched that. It was on one of the Instagram news sites. And of course, we call it racism and we get offended, but we are Indians and we get offended even as Indians when people are doing this. So this is not just racism. It's about just being, you know, just some civic sense, some basic courtesy towards other
civic
passengers.
Etiquette. Which we seem to have a dearth of.
A very acute dearth of. Yeah. And I don't know, we are traveling so much and seeing everything, but we are not really improving there. And we've done an episode about that
complete,
Indian traveler,
we've
right?
done a complete episode.
Notices put up inside restaurants and hotels in Switzerland.
Do you think we should introduce it as a school subject, how to behave when you travel?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Start from grade one.
Yeah. And start also, from the time women are pregnant.
Yeah. Like, you know, Chakravyuh, the
Abhimanyu.
Like,
yeah.
Garbha sanskar, behave politely, pick up after yourself, don't run around in public places, don't talk at volumes that, you know, take out your drums of everybody in the immediate vicinity.
And have you not noticed Indians taking their nannies to restaurants?
Making them stand.
Making them stand while they are all stuffing their faces.
That is so cringe.
It's inhuman.
It's cringe. It's, I don't know how you can do that. How can you eat while somebody's standing there at the table sometimes?
Yep.
Not even outside, not even sitting outside. Standing, holding the baby.
Cruel.
Yeah. But
I mean, if I was such a nanny, I'd actually poison their food.
I was thinking spit in their food, but you're a little more vitriolic than me.
Okay, spit in their food.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you poison it enough to kill them, poison enough to give them some diarrhea or something.
Okay, yeah. Because, you know, I was thinking poison to kill, then you're out of a job and then you have to look for another job. And that's
not if you're... Indrani Mukherjee. I mean,
speaking of whom, anyway, we've already done an episode.
They
on
might
that.
Have to bleep this out. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so that was mine. Did you do any shopping in Porbandar?
No, but a friend of mine bought a gold necklace, some old-fashioned. You know, gold is very big there. People buy a lot of filigree work. But I can't buy jewelry like that and, you know, go Porbandar. I told them, I said, you know, we are going shopping even in Porbandar.
There is no place we will not go shopping in.
That is true.
Yeah. So let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
Although I did not go shopping in Kaziranga.
What would you shop for anyway? There's no scope.
I tried. I'm telling you, I tried.
What were you trying to buy? Antlers?
No, darling. I was looking at all those silks. Yeah, Assam silks.
At Kaziranga?
There were little handloom shops along on the main road.
Yeah.
But... I went there looking at the weather app, which said 37 and 17. When I reached there, it was some 10 or 12.
Really?
I was freezing. It was drizzly and rainy.
And you feel cold easily anyway.
Yeah. So I had layered on like some million t-shirts and one thin little jacket, which I carry for flights, and I was shivering. So no shopping happened.
Yeah.
Because
actually, even Porbandar was cooler than I expected because it's all desert and it gets really cold at night. But I must tell you, we had to arrive in Jamnagar on a very short flight from Bombay and then drive from there. So this was 2 days after the big wedding got over, the Ambani wedding. And they still had that at the Jamnagar gate, boarding gate, they still had the welcome wedding logo there.
On.
Rather, RNA, it said. And so I remember that I was late for my flight because I have this thing. I sometimes can't process time. It's weird. And I'm sitting at home and having my chai and my husband says, don't you have to board the flight? He was going to come later. And I said, oh, it's at 11. He said, no, it boards at 9:45. And it's 8:45 at the time.
Wow.
Don't ask. I had to basically throw some clothes on and run to the airport.
You were packed.
And it was an Air India flight. So when I was the last person to board, I begged them. I said, please let me, you know, not board, check in. Please let me check in at the check-in counter. So that the guy next to me, he's also waiting to check in. He said, "Ab Jamnagar ja rahe hain?" So I said, "Yes." "Ab kya fayda? Ab to shaadi ho gayi. Party to sari khatam ho gayi. I said, "Main uske liye nahi ja rahi hu." So anyway, that was funny.
So anyway, Jamnagar has been put on the map, and how?
Of course.
And
yes.
How?
Yeah.
So that.
But wide roads. They've done a lot. The airport there was squeaky clean.
Yeah, it's a lovely
airport.
The
washrooms were beautifully rebuilt.
Okay.
So yep.
I was there a couple of years ago for a naval lit fest at Jamnagar.
Naval lit
Yeah,
fest?
There is a naval base there at Jamnagar.
Okay.
And I was called INS Jalsura, if I remember.
Is there
that.
Any lit fest you have not done? You should do a glossary of lit fest in and across India.
I have not done many. And hopefully they will call me now, but I will not name them because it will be calling them out. Why have you not invited me yet?
Yeah.
How dare you? So... It was wonderful going there. That little, and the funny thing about this, I must tell you, it's not about a trip that I did recently, but they had protocol, Shunali. So each one of us had one escort and one vehicle. And when we wanted to go shopping in Jamnagar, because of course you get your ajrak and your patolas and everything there.
Right.
So all of us women were like, we want to go shopping. And some of the men said, sure, we want to go to pick up stuff for our wives as well. We were all ready to be bunged into a few couple of cars and go off. I said, no, you'll have to go each in one car with your escort.
Amazing how important you must have felt.
So this entire retinue of cars going through those tiny little roads into the markets.
High level security, I must say.
And to go back. When you want to travel, you want to...
But it's Navy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess they had their protocols. But I just found it very amusing that, you know, you could have just saved petrol, man.
Yeah, now in Jamnagar, this is the largest refinery of the world.
So they're not really thinking about petrol saving.
Yeah, correct. So Kiran, speaking of all these travels, yesterday I was at a dinner party hosted by Shiva Som, the Thai resort, wellness resort, and Condé Nast Traveler. And so the owner of Shiva Som was there and they had a very beautiful meal prepared for us, a 6-course meal. And, you know, they bring such tiny courses that if you ate like that at home, you could eat anything. You wouldn't have to give up carbohydrates.
That's why they're also slim.
That's why. No, I'm just saying that that's wellness, not like how we eat. And so there was a lucky draw. So when you reach the venue, you had to drop your name cards or whatever, fill up your names and drop it in this bowl. And there were two giveaways. One was a 5-night stay free at Shiva Som in Hua Hin in Thailand. And the other was a 5-night stay free in Serengeti. They have something in Serengeti, wow. Speaking of safaris, right? And I have to say, something told me that I was going to win this.
Oh.
You know, sometimes you just know it.
I hear a but coming.
It didn't happen.
Damn.
Two other people who are probably not as keen on it as me have won it.
A box on them.
Well, I know them, so no, not really. But yeah, I was like, I was so upset. I was so...
There will be more lucky draws.
No, by the way, I never win any lucky draw, ever. Ever. And I was in Dubai also for my husband's birthday. While we were sitting over lunch, you know, we'd called some friends and his cousin over. She suddenly said, oh my God, I need a new driver. Her driver won a massive lottery.
Yes, I read about that.
Oh, it's been in the papers. Press?
Yes.
So this was some mega lottery. And she said that easily he's going to get some like 15, 20 crores. And so she started saying, I need a new driver. Ab toh kaam nahi karega. Then she called and congratulated him. Then he said, nahin, humne miljul ke ticket liya. So there were some 8-10 of them.
Okay.
So they were, at the end of it, they were all going to get 2 crores each, but not bad
at all. Only thing I won is a Kate Spade bag.
Oh, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. I have not won anything. I have not won a pack of Poppins also. You remember, we used to have Poppins.
We used to have Kiss Me.
I have not won anything, any lucky dip in any lucky draw in my whole life. And that's why I'm really resentful about it.
Don't be.
No, no. It's just like one day I'd like to win something. Even 20 rupees ka
something. We'll rig something for you. Tell us the next lucky draw you go in for. We'll rig it for you.
Maybe we should do one here.
Yeah, we'll do one.
Get some sponsors and say we'll do a lucky draw. And then say, oh, Shunali even saw your sponsors. One of our hosts has won the lucky draw. She gets to go on this trip.
Huh.
Yeah.
And everyone will send hate messages and hate bombers after that.
Listen, people have been missing our podcast. So I doubt anybody will send us hate. A friend of mine, you know, his name is featured bigger before on this podcast, Udit. He said, I miss your podcast so much, at least send me voice notes. He's lying with a fractured leg in bed after surgery.
Adorable.
Yeah. And this other friend of mine, she called me. She said, talk to me because I haven't heard you on the podcast since a bit. So I said, well, then you should call Kiran also. She doesn't know you. But
happy to oblige.
Yeah.
Anytime. Where do you want to travel next, Shunali?
I think now after talking about all these safaris, I want to go on a safari.
Masai Mara again?
Serengeti. Yeah. I'll go outside the Shiva's home spa and take a selfie.
Send them the leopard picture.
Yeah.
Tell them this is what I do.
Yeah, and actually after listening to your safari thing, I would like to go back on a safari. Right. It's the best experience. Being in nature is so therapeutic. And it teaches you so much about life and survival.
Mm. And it's very humbling.
Yeah.
To see that expanse and to see animals and to realize what we've done of this planet here.
Yeah, but it's also fun to see the female of the species is the same everywhere.
Yeah, uglier.
Yeah.
Than the male.
Politically incorrect. Female of the human species is not uglier than the male.
The animal species. We have it reversed in humans.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
90% of the time. You know the one, politically incorrect, but can I say this? You can choose whether to keep it or not. The one thing I realized about traveling solo, Srinali, I don't know if you've experienced that, is that when you go into the restaurants of the hotels you're staying at, suddenly all the women sort of get very territorial. They're sitting to block their husband's view.
Yeah, look in my direction. Look only at me.
Yeah. And you're like, you know, he's the poster boy for coastal erosion. His hairline. His stomach is in his third trimester.
Yeah, what do you think? This is what I want to know. Generally speaking, women who are territorial about their husbands, unless you're married to like Brad Pitt.
Why?
Or Hrithik Roshan or Shah Rukh Khan. Like, please don't be. Have you looked at him?
Yeah, please. Like, do yourself a favor.
Do us a favor.
Do us a favor. Absolutely.
Yeah. Chalo. On that happy note, we shall see you guys again next week.
See you on the YouTube channel of Not Your Auntie. Please do like, subscribe, and you can also listen to us on all the audio platforms.
And you can DM Kiran and me on our respective social media handles at Srinali Kular Shroff on Instagram for me and Srinali Shroff on Twitter.
I'm at Kiran Mandral everywhere on Instagram and Twitter. Please do let us know what you think and what you'd like us to talk about. See you next week.
Ciao.